have your Bibles, go ahead and make your way to the Gospel of Matthew 28, chapter 28. And for the past several weeks, I've been walking through, looking at who we are as a church and what that looks like, how it's to look in the world. And we've taken our mission statement, which is on the wall of the balcony. As you walk in the lobby, you see it on bulletins and printed material, and it simply says that we exist to glorify God by involving people in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, I think sometimes we forget, because we hear it so often, what that really means and what it looks like as we live it out in the world. And the point is, and the real point of that mission statement, is that we would see our lives and everything in the world from God's perspective. I mean, in fact, when you think about that mission statement and think about what it emphasizes, everything in this world is meant to bring God glory. Everything that's made, everything that's been designed, everything that's been created is meant to bring God glory. It's for His purposes. Everything in this world is to glorify God. He's the object. But there's something else that we need to learn, and it's through Jesus Christ, and through a saving relationship with Jesus, that we most glorify God. You know, when we were little kids, we used to sing a song, He's got the whole world in His hands. Well, everywhere you look in creation, you see this stamp of a creator. But what God's mission for the world is they would experience the joy that comes from knowing Him through His Son, Jesus, on the cross. Now, when you think about that life in Christ, once we come to know Jesus, I think there are really four strong characteristics, at least four strong characteristics of the life of a believer that are to be lived out every single day. And we talked about it 4 weeks ago. The first one is love. And that may be the most challenging when you think about it. Love God like no other, and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that was Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus gave the great commandment. And when you describe that, we hear those words, we think that's so easy to do. But when you start really thinking about loving God like no other, I think very few people actually accomplish that. When you think about what you'll give your life to, who you'll devote yourself to, who you'll go to whatever length for, I mean, God needs to be at the top of the list. And then when we love God like no other, then He gives us the ability and strength to love our neighbors as ourselves. And in fact, when you start talking about loving our neighbors, I mean, Jesus even told us that we're to love our enemies. Pretty powerful command. But everything begins and starts right there. And then we talked about living in community with other believers. You know, when you start studying the New Testament and learning about the church and the life of believers, He never addresses us individually. He addresses us corporately. He always talks about the church being together, being one, working together. And you know, we have all kinds of gifts and abilities and talents. We all have different lives and personalities, but He brings us together to accomplish His mission in the world. And so it's through that living together in community with other believers, not only do we grow in our faith, but we're able to carry out the mission of the gospel in the world. And so it's vitally important. In fact, I think today probably in the history of the United States in particular, but in the world, the local church is more important than ever in the history of the world. And we ought to be deeply devoted to our community of believers, our local family of faith. Now, the third area was the area of give that we talked about last week. And what we learned was this: every single one of us, instead of looking at life as owners, we're managers, we're stewards. Everything that we have, everything that we are is owned by God. He owns it all. Now, He's given to us and entrusted to us some things that we manage, but He still owns. Like truth, we talked about His word. We were to study to show ourselves approved, a worker who needs not be ashamed. In other words, we need to spend time in God's word because we are to be good stewards of His word. And then we've also been given talents and abilities, spiritual gifts to be used for the execution of Christ's mission on the earth. And this is what we need to think about sometimes. Sometimes when we think about the church, we think about we'll just use our spiritual gifts in the execution of the gospel and the mission of Jesus in the world. But every single thing he's given us, every natural talent that we were born with, everything that we have developed in life through education or exposure, influences of others, a lot of times we think about how we can use those things to benefit us or our family, how we can make more money, how we can get a better job with those things. But we need to think that everything that we have, every natural ability, every spiritual gift, everything he's implanted in us and developed in us is to be used first and foremost for the expansion of the gospel in the world. Because what people need most is Jesus. And then he's given us resources, those treasures in life. He's given us treasures to be used for his great name and the spread of the gospel. And he's given us time. Every single day is a new gift of time that God's given to us to live our lives out for Christ. And that brings us to the fourth thing. And this is where everything really, to me, gets really practical for us, because go. And it's found in Matthew 28. Let me tell you how important this is. It's a point in Jesus' time on this planet that was totally unique. He has been crucified, he's been buried, he's been resurrected, and now he's appearing to his disciples. He's back in Galilee. His disciples are back. That's where it all started. That's where the ministry began in Galilee. So it's kind of like going home again, and Jesus, this time, instead of initiating his ministry, he's bringing it all to fruition and saying, hey, I'm giving it to you and entrusting it to you to impact the world with it. And I think this is so unique, and the reason I say that is because this is not some ordinary talk that Jesus is giving to his disciples. He has died. They watched him die. He's been buried. They knew he was buried. And now he's resurrected. I mean, if a dead man comes back from the dead and talks to you, I guarantee you're listening. And they were listening to Jesus as he gave them this great commission, this charge. Listen to what he said. Look down in verse 16, Matthew 28. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some questioned everything that was going on. I mean, wouldn't you? If you'd seen him crucified, knew that he was buried, and now he shows back up to talk to you, you might have some questions too. You might have a challenge in your own heart. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, we're going to take this apart for a minute, because what Jesus said to the disciples wasn't just for them. He's entrusted it to us. And it starts with this word, go, go, go. This is very practical. What we're going to talk about today is how you and I get involved in what God's doing in the world. And this is not something we should take for granted. It is a great privilege as a Christian to be involved in what God's doing in the world. It's our greatest privilege. What you and I do on our own, this is not going to last. It's not going to last. Listen, I remember when my mom was living, we went down to Abbeville, and on one of our trips, she said, you know, I want to go show you the house I was born in. Now, that right there just kind of freaked me out when I was, you know, I was much younger. She said, you're born in a house? I mean, what happened to the hospital? We didn't go to the hospital back then. We were just born at home. And so we traveled down these roads, made this little winding down to a dirt road area, and went to find her house, this log cabin. And it was in shambles. Now, her father and their family put a lot of energy into building that house. It's where they lived. It was their home place. But they moved away, and no one took care of it. In her lifetime, she goes back home to everything where they put all this blood, sweat, and tears into building, and guess what? It was in shambles. It's just a reminder. What we do for ourselves in this world does not last. What really matters, what makes the difference in eternity, is what we do for the cause of Christ. What he does last. In fact, you know, in John 15, when Jesus is challenging the disciples, and he's telling them that we are to go and bear fruit, he talks about we're to bear fruit that remains, that lasts forever. And that's what matters. That's what's so important. Now, when you think about this word go and the charge that he's given to each of us to go, there are two words that come to mind. One is the word missional. What he's telling us is this. As we go throughout our life, to work, to our hobbies, to play, to the ball fields, wherever we are, as we go, we are to make disciples of Jesus. He's telling us that we're on mission. Every day we're on mission. Every day you wake up, you're on mission. When you go to work, you're on mission. Okay? When you're with your friends hanging out, you're on mission. When you're babysitting the grandkids, you're on mission. I just thought I'd throw that in since I'm going to be a grandfather. Just thought that would work really well. Wherever you are, you're on mission. It's a part of our life. But you know what? I find myself, even as a pastor, I find myself forgetting that sometimes. I'll get busy in the day and have too many things to do. And like, something simple like going to the grocery store. And Christy's, she's texted me a list. This is what we need to get. And I'm going to the grocery store and I'm thinking, all right, this time I just want to go to the grocery store, get everything on the list and go home. And she said, you did it. You got everything on the list. Because usually I miss something. But, just the other day, I was at the grocery store, I was trying to get the list, and somebody started talking to me, and I was looking at them, but you know what I was thinking about? The list. I got to get this stuff. I do not need to mess this up. I need to just get the stuff on the list and get it to the house. And when I got back in my car, you know what I thought about? You're an idiot. Because you went to the grocery store just to go to the grocery store instead of going to the grocery store and remember that you're on mission for me. Those conversations were my appointments. Every single one, you don't have to be a pastor to go to the grocery store on mission. All right, I want you to know that. Wherever you go, whatever you do, every day you're given in this life, it's missional. It's for his mission. But it's also the word intentional. If we're going to do that, if we're going to be missional, it's got to be intentional. We've got to be intentional about making disciples in every single walk of life. I mean, oftentimes what we do is we say, you know what, if God brings the opportunity to me, I will be the first to stand up and say something. Well, you know what, God brings the opportunity to you when he wakes you up in the morning. When he gives you and gives me another day, he just gave you the opportunity. And what we need to do is we need to be intentional. Now, this is what I told the 9:30 service this morning. What we need to do is we need a reminder, okay, so that we do not forget why we're here. It's not to go to work another day. It's not to go play, Little League baseball. It's not none of those things. It's for his mission. So I want you to write on the mirror in your bathroom, today I'm on mission for Jesus. Don't write on a sticky note. It falls off on the floor. You'll never see it. Just write it on the mirror. When you wake up in the morning before you go anywhere, you'll realize, you know what today is? Today is another day that I'm on mission for Jesus. Now, here's the thing. We can be both missional and intentional, every single one of us. I love what John MacArthur wrote about this passage, this Great Commission passage. He said, what Jesus was saying is, because I'm the sovereign Lord of the universe, I have both the authority to command you to be my witnesses and the power to enable you to obey that command. In other words, he's not telling us, you got this on your own. He's telling you, this is what you're to be, this is what you're to do, this is how you're to live. And you know what? Because I have all authority in heaven and on earth, I'm going to empower you to be my witnesses, so go do it. The cool thing is, we can do it with his power. The question is, how do we do it? And I want to give you a couple of things to do. One, you should have got this when you came in track. It says steps to peace with God on the outside. You get one of those? I want you to take it out for a second. One thing you need to do is tell the story. And this is a simple way to tell the story. All right? You got it? All you do is you fold it open like this. On the very outside, it says this: God loves you and has a purpose for your life. And what he does is he writes scripture on the front cover. John 3:16 is where Jesus is having a conversation with a man named Nicodemus, who was rich, he was religious, and he was respected, but he didn't know God. And he told him, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then he goes on to say in John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it to the full. Okay, so God loves you and has a purpose for your life. Then you fold it open, says, you know what, there is a problem. And the problem is sin separates you from God. And underneath that, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you may be here today and you say, you know what, I've heard that before. I know, I got that. There's different ways of knowing something that you can recognize when someone else says it. And then there's knowing it so well that you can lead somebody to it. And that's why this little booklet is helpful, because it points out where this is in the Bible. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here's the deal, there are no exceptions. It's not all have sinned except Pastor Tim, all have sinned except your neighbor who's a really good person and lawned you, mowed your lawn for you, or your great aunt who was really nice. None of those things. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then it makes mention of something down here at the bottom that we need to point out. People often try to bridge this gap by doing a lot of good things, but no bridge reaches God. You know, sometimes I think, particularly when you talk to people and ask them if they're a Christian and going to heaven, and they say, I hope so, I think that most of us in the South still think that somehow we're going to earn our way into heaven. And we think that if we do enough good things to make up for the bad things, heaven's going to be our home. That's why we say we hope so. We think somewhere God's got a line, and if you get over that line and good things that you've done in your life, you're going to earn your way there. Not going to happen. That's not going to bridge the gap. Well, if good things don't bridge the gap for our sin, what does? Well, you fold it again. God's bridge is the cross. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What he did on the cross, he paid for our sin in full, and he opened up a new and living way for us through the cross to experience eternal life. And if you fold it one more time, it brings you to the end. Romans 10:9 tells us, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Man, what a great promise. In fact, if you look down below that black line in the middle, it gives you an opportunity to receive Christ right now. How do you do that? Admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Repent. Be willing to repent from your sins. Repent's all through the Bible. That term, repent, means to turn from our sin and turn to God in faith. And that leads us to number three. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Believe doesn't just mean giving intellectual assent. It means you trust him with your life for the salvation of your soul. Heaven as your home. Eternal life is a free gift. And then there's a little prayer. There's nothing magical about the prayer, but prayer is an avenue that God's given us to talk to him, and we can share with him our heart and what's going on in our life so that we can know Christ. Now here's the point. Think about that for a second. You know that. But over the last 30 days, how many people have you told that to? Now over the last 30 days, how many conversations have you had with people who need to know that? Most important thing in the world, and yet we don't tell them. And so here's the point. When he says go, he's saying as you go. You're going throughout life, you're having all kinds of conversations, meeting all kinds of people. He says, listen, share the message of hope, tell the story. Maybe you can tell it through a track like this. Maybe you can through your own story, what God's doing in your life, how you came to know Christ. But tell the story. You don't save anybody, but God will save if we'll tell the story. In fact, the scripture says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Paul also says, how will they hear unless someone tells them? And you and I are the ones to tell them. So engage in telling the story and watch what God will do. Second thing is this. Take a trip. Take a trip. You know, one of the cool things, it's been amazing to see what God's been able or been at work doing in the life of our congregation over the last couple of years. Started a new campus in Griffin. There was a church that started in the 1800s, had declined down to 13 people. God put within the heart of the pastor, man, we need help. We need somebody to help revive the church. In fact, he had put our church on his heart. He helped connect the dots, and God's been at work, and now a year and a half later, over 250 people are at that same church, reborn, serving the Lord again down in Griffin, Eagles Landing at Griffin, which is phenomenal. Yeah, that's awesome. Right now, in our newly renovated chapel, there are about 180 people worshiping in a very traditional service that God's using Howard Greer to help lead. He preaches the same message I'm preaching in here, but God's impacting lives with the gospel. At 9:30, we just started a new service. And there are about 200 people at 9:30 meeting together, brand new folks, trying to bring them together to get to know one another and be on mission for God. I mean, that's phenomenal, exciting. But God's also given us connections beyond our own community. And we call it Frontier Waits. And the reason it's called Frontier Waits is there are 7 billion people, over 7 billion people on the planet. 70% of them don't know Christ, need to know Christ, and we're on mission to tell them. And the way we've determined to do that is to go into places, not just to have a mission trip and leave after 2 weeks, but to plant a church there that will have lasting impact for the glory of God. One of the places that started was a place called San Diego. You've heard of that, out in California. And we had a great time with Kevin Campbell, helping them get established and impact their community. They grew up to a place where they were self-supporting. And so we had a great celebration time letting them go to minister to the world, and they're doing an incredible job. We took up another place. In fact, we've got 5 of them. One is in Ottawa, Canada. Jason and Carrie Byers are the church planters there, and they're doing a great job impacting a college area with the gospel of Jesus. Now, there are a lot of people in Canada, but to be honest with you, Canada's a pretty spiritually dark place. And man, a lot of hard work going on in Canada. And we also are at work in Honduras among the Tolopan people. Now, the Tolopan are, they're called Tol or Tol Indians, and they're the indigenous people group in Honduras. And most of the time when mission teams go into Honduras, they go to the dump or the cities. We retreat to the mountains with the indigenous people group called the Tol. There are about 300 villages of about 300 people each scattered through the mountains. This is a real mission trip. Listen, you drive your Jeep, you might have seen that in the video, to the bottom of the mountains. You load your mule and you head to the mountains. You dig your own latrine, set up your own tent, cook your own food, and you live among the people. All right? So you say, man, I want to go on a real mission trip. We've got the trip for you to Honduras, all right? But here's what's so cool. We're starting to see people come to Christ. Listen, less than 2% of the Tolopan have even heard the gospel. Less than 2%. And so we're partnering with other groups to go in there. The Eagles Landing Christian Academy just sent a group down there. Had a phenomenal trip impacting that part of the world with the gospel. And we want to carry the gospel to the world to that group. Then we are working in places like Miami. In fact, our college minister, Jacob Watts, went down to join our church planter, Eric Bennett, to plant a church in north suburbs of Miami. And it is doing fantastic. In fact, I want you to hear from Eric Bennett, who's our church planter down in Miami. So take a look.
Hey, I want to tell you about something amazing that happened this past year in the life of our church, and you guys were definitely a part of it. Our church moved locations to the city of Weston, where our family lives, a better venue, a better facility, and also a school that wanted to partner with us to get a church in their doors. The principal and the vice principal of the school are Christians, and they had been praying for a church to come rent their facility, so in their words, prayer would keep going during the weekend. And that's where we are now. That's in no small part to you guys. In fact, there was a mission team here that reached out to Manatee Bay while we were partnering together on that mission trip. Also, even more amazing is the work that a mission team did, a GO team sent from Eagles Landing down to South Florida, did at Flamingo Elementary. By beautifying their campus, it opened the door for our church to continue the relationship. The Anchor Church is currently the music program at Flamingo Elementary. Just an amazing story. Because of that partnership, the school then nominated our church plant to be the Partner of the Year for Broward County Public Schools. Amazing. Thank you so much for your involvement with our church, for praying for us, and for propelling the gospel further in South Florida.
Amen. It's really cool. Now, let me tell you how things, some dots connect. You know, we just did this revitalization in Griffin with a church that was declining, getting ready to close. Well, with our church plant in Miami, they just moved to a new school in Weston, where he was talking about. And just across the canal, there is a church called Grace Baptist Church that has been in the same situation that the church in Griffin was in. They've been declining. They've tried to get pastors. In fact, they reached out to a leader in the area and said, man, we need an interim pastor to help us get started again because we're about to die. We're about to close the doors. We got a building, but we have no people. He called Eric and said, Eric, let me tell you about this church and what's happening in it. Eric said, you know what? Eagles Landing just did this in Georgia. They just partnered with a church that was declining, about to close, and helped revitalize it. And now it's flourishing, and maybe we can do the same thing. And so today, I believe it's today, Eric is actually preaching at Grace Baptist Church. And in 2 weeks, on the 17th, they're going to have a worship experience together, and we're going to see where God leads. But it may be that God's taking this mission church that now has the people and this church that has the building and bring them together to revitalize both and expand the witness and testimony of the gospel in Miami, which is incredible, and we get to be a part of that. That's awesome. And then we have Reagan Ferris, who was our student pastor, moved to New Orleans with his family. And another couple in our church moved to New Orleans with their family. And then one of our college students moved to New Orleans to help plant Lifehouse City Church in New Orleans. And so listen to Reagan. Let me share just real briefly with you just a word of what's happening in New Orleans.
Hey, Eagles Landing family. We're so excited about the short-term mission teams you guys are sending in the fall to help us here in the city of New Orleans. God is doing a lot of amazing stuff in the city, but it's going to take the church working together to see it really come to fruition. And we're thankful that you guys are willing to come, put boots on the ground with us, and get in the trenches. We're going to be breaking ground in some new neighborhoods, just kind of praying over those neighborhoods, laying down some prayer foundation, and just meeting some neighbors. Also, we're going to be in the neighborhoods that we're currently working in and continue establishing those relationships and serving those communities and holding up the name of Jesus so that people can know our great God and King.
It's pretty cool to see what's happening in New Orleans. And then last, I'm going to show you this clip. And before he starts this, let me just tell you, Freddie, his native language is Spanish. And they talk fast. Well, he talks fast even in English. So as it gets started, just be ready. Start listening fast and ramp up before he goes, all right? So here's Freddie.
Hello, Eagles Landing Baptist Church. Pastor Freddie once again here, your church planner in Puerto Rico. And right now we are excited for this summer. There's a team coming from Eagles Landing to help us here reach the community, reach the youth, reach the students. And we also have another team coming in September to help us reach the community. So we ask you to pray for this team. Pray for us, pray for my wife, for me, as we lead this ministry and try to change people's life with the gospel of Jesus. Keep us in your prayers. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, and God bless.
Let me tell you what's really cool about that church. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about this in one of our Discover Eagles Landing classes, and there's a lady who had visited our church who came, brought her mom. As I was talking about Puerto Rico and our church plant, New Beginnings with Freddie and Giselle, and how God was working there. In fact, that church plant's now up to over 60. And I was telling them that the North American Mission Board has come to us and said, listen, we're going to help fund this. You don't need to worry about the funds. I want you to provide the leadership to our church planters in Puerto Rico. We're ready to start another one in San Juan. Well, this lady's mom was in the class. She said, I live in San Juan. I'm going back to San Juan tomorrow. I want to be a part of the church plant that y'all are planting in San Juan. So Gabriel has a great partner already in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So really cool to see what God's doing, how God's working. Now, here's the deal. How many of you have been on a mission trip? Nobody? Okay, a few of you. How many of you haven't? Wait a minute. Keep those hands up. Where's Bruce at? Oh, he's teaching his life. He's teaching. Are you teaching a life group this hour? Bruce, you in here? You taking names, Brad? Take names. There you go. Get a picture of everybody. These are all the potentials to go on a mission trip this summer. Here's the question. If you have it, why not? Instead of going to Panama City Beach, okay, go to Puerto Rico. Instead of going to Panama City, go to Miami. Go to Ottawa. Go to Honduras and let God use this time in your life to impact the world with the gospel and see lives changed for His great name. So, here's the deal. Tell the story, make a trip, or invest in the mission. In fact, do all three. When you give to Frontier Waits, this is what we give to. These churches are not self-supporting. When they get to be self-supporting, we let them go, have a release party, and then we move on somewhere else, do the exact same thing. But as you give to Frontier Awaits, it helps fund these teams going to these places, help fund and pay for these pastors. So listen, Freddie, for a long time, they didn't have any air. I don't know if he has any air conditioning now. And it's in Puerto Rico. It's hot. It is hot. Listen, this guy told me, I said, man, how in the world do you sleep in this house with no air conditioning? This is what he said. I take a shower and don't dry off. Just run, jump in the bed. Get under the ceiling fan and hopefully I'm cool enough and then I'll fall asleep. But he said, I don't want to spend the money on air conditioning because it needs to go to the church. Those are the kind of guys that are out there on the field impacting the world with the gospel, and they're willing to make the sacrifices, and we can join them. That's what we give to. And so invest in the mission. Watch what God will do. It's incredible. So every time we meet on Sundays and we see what's going on here, there's much more going on. In the chapel at 11 o'clock and 9:30 service down in Griffin. And then at these five places we just talked about, God's at work, and we get to be a part of that. Now, when he tells them, go and make disciples, he tells them two things you need to do. Baptize, teach. So we're sharing the gospel, and once someone comes to saving faith in Christ, they're baptized. And baptism does not save you. I want you to understand, those waters do not save. They don't wash away sin or dirt, all right? But once you come to Christ, when you're baptized, you're identifying with Christ and his church. It's a beautiful picture of burial and resurrection. You're lowered under the water, you're raised out of the water. And by doing that, you're being obedient to the call of Christ and you're identifying with Christ and his church. You're saying, I am a follower of Jesus. And it's setting a pattern for your entire life. He leads, I follow. That's what we're going to do. And then the other thing he said, you know what you need to teach? And what we need to teach is God's word. And that's what we need to be faithful in teaching. And there are incredible blessings from teaching and studying God's word. Now, I want to give you a list real quick and we're going to wrap it up, all right? So here you go. First thing, faith increases. Just write this down, jot down the references. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You say, I want to have stronger faith. I want to live out my faith. Get in God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Second thing, we gain insight for godly living. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus is being tempted, remember, by the devil. In one of those temptations, Jesus responds by saying, when he's tempted to turn the stones into bread, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What he's telling us, that's what we live on. Food's just food for the body, but food for our soul is God's word. Third thing is this, our lives become a godly encouragement to others, grounded in thankfulness. Listen to this verse, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. He's telling us, you let God's word dwell in your life, and it changes everything about your perspective. In fact, it changes the way you encourage and impact those around you. And then we experience real freedom. John 8:32. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right? And then we have security and hope. Man, what are we looking for in this world? Security and hope. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these words, Matthew 7, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Jesus secures our present, and he gives us hope for the future. And we become more and more assured of that when we stay in this book. If you depend on Fox News or CNN to give you security and hope, you will be sorely and sadly disappointed. It's not going to happen. If you want to stick your head in the sand and depend that the world isn't infected and infested with sin, you know, you're going to collapse when the rains come, the floods rise, and the winds blow. But when your life is founded on Jesus, he is our security and he is our hope. And then you know what? We benefit in every way. I love this psalm. I want you to jot this down. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. It's one of those passages you just don't need to forget, because the psalmist is confessing from his heart the rich treasure of God's word. He says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And then he sums up by saying, "More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and dripping to the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." There's nothing like the treasure of God's word. And so what Jesus is saying, listen, here's what I want you to do. Sometimes we're saying, what does he want me to do? What does God want me to do? I'll tell you what he wants you to do. It's called the Great Commission. Go. Go. Make disciples. Of who? All nations. How? Baptizing them. You tell them the story and baptize them. Teach them everything that I've told you. And then he said, I want you to remember one thing. You're not in this alone. You never were, and you never will be. He said, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. God has given Jesus, his son, all authority in heaven and on earth, not just to command us to go, but to give us the strength to do it. So let's do it.